Good afternoon. This is Pastor Ed Rice, Good Samaritan Baptist Church, here for a Sunday evening Bible study for the 28th of February. And as we are looking to God's Word, I got some things that we want to look at and be an encouragement to saints tonight, especially those of Good Samaritan Baptist Church, that we could again be familiar with some things God said about His second coming. People say, well, the Lord's soon returning, and people are sometimes glad to be leaving here. But we want to look at some of the framework for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. The Bible says in John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Father, praise you and thank you for your word. Thank you that we can lean on it and trust it. I pray again that you'd be with saints in troublous times as we're again looking for the return of your son as you promised. And Father, help us to be encouraged and strengthened by your word to know again what we're looking for and also what we're supposed to be doing. We'll give you the praise in the name of Christ. Amen. So as we take up this Bible study again, I want to go ahead and go through a bunch of Bible verses again that we'll be looking at concerning the events that's surrounding the second coming of Christ. And as we do that, the coming last days, it's good for saints to know the Bible. It's good for saints to understand the framework about the second coming of Christ. And there's a lot of ignorance, a lot of Bible ignorance, again, in that area. And so we want to just go through some slides, again, some scripture verses here with you that'll help you in that regard. And so as we do that, again, this is from Good Samaritan Baptist Church. There's a picture of our webpage, and I encourage you again to take full advantage of that. And as we have this Bible study, again, those are some of the things that we have available on. We'll do have this video available up there under the video link. And also down here at the bottom of this page, you'll notice again the hunt for the last October. I have a 4-week seminar on the last days and the events around the last days. I encourage you again to check that out as well. So let's go ahead and look now at the coming of the last days, and again, especially the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in 2 Timothy, this also know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Peter responds as well, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Again, understand that the Lord is soon returning and the day of the Lord is at hand. Isaiah 2:2, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. I want you to know that the events that are prophesied in the last days involve all nations, and again, even our own nation. And it says of all nations that all nations are going to turn against Israel, and then the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return and be the salvation of Israel. So we'll look at that right from the scriptures. But I want, again, that we have a good framework for these events. And again, first off, Christians, we are on the winning side. I like that song. And secondly, to the unsaved that may be watching this or uncertain, let me go ahead and say that John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And so you need salvation. You need to be saved from the wrath of God. You need to be saved from the condemnation that all men are under when they're born into this world. And if you're not saved, I'd encourage you again to search out those scriptures and be saved. Praise the Lord. John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Have you been passed from death unto life? He continues, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." You need to have everlasting life. As we study the end times, as we look again into what's happening next, as we see our own nation turning against Israel and again turning against God, shaking its fist at God on seven different counts that we've looked at here, that our nation is now again marching in rebellion against God. And again, just understand that the first thing up is going to be the rapture of the church. And so let's look at that. Let me also say, as we consider those slides again for salvation, that I hear people say, "Well, we're all children of God." And I, again, want to emphasize, we're not all children of God. Remember, Jesus said to them that did not believe on him, "You are of your father, the devil." And listen, you're not a child of God until, in fact, John 1 says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, gave he power to become the sons of God." And so listen, you're not a child of God until you receive the Lord Jesus Christ through these verses and calling upon him, according to Romans 10:9-10. And he didn't have a special deal for different people. There's only one deal here. You have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So for those that are saved, again, the first thing, the next thing on God's, a click on God's time clock, the next thing that's going to happen is going to be the rapture of the church. Now, the Catholic Church does not believe in the rapture of the church. They think they're going to take over for Israel and bring in the millennial reign of God. So they don't believe in the rapture of God. Protestant churches, most of that teaching has dwindled right down into them. And so there's people who fight against this teaching, but I don't care what you believe. I care what the Bible says. And so again, it's not so important what people believe. When you say, "Well, I believe," listen, it's more important what the Bible says. So we're just giving you again here just a clear picture of some things that are straight out of the Bible. Look what it says in 1 Thessalonians 4. "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye some sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." I know for my folks, Good Samaritan, having gone through the hunt for the last October, for the past 20 years of every October, that we're very familiar with these verses. And so I want us to be so familiar that we could share them with others, because there's a lot of people, again, pondering the end times, the end of the world, and they're doing that from ignorance, again, from teachings of the Roman Catholic Church or from teachings of even Protestants that swallowed the Catholic ideas. And so, again, we're looking at this framework so that you can teach others and be an encouragement to others. And I want to encourage you to do that. The rapture of the church is imminent. That means there's nothing that needs to happen before the rapture of the church occurs. It goes on in 1 Thessalonians to say, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. I wish saints knew that perfectly today. But again, there's been all kinds of strange teachings about the last days. And so we want to just clarify that the rapture of the church is the next tick on God's time clock. He does not need a temple. He does not need anything fulfilled. Some people say, well, that we won't come till the Antichrist is revealed, because they've mixed up a lot of scriptures by the teachings, false teachings of the Catholic Church. It goes on there to say, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, writing to saved people here, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. So again, if you're a born-again Christian, you need a Bible, you need to study of these things, and rightly divide the word of truth, and know again that the rapture of the church is the next tick on God's time clock. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and the Lord make you to increase. This is again before he talks in chapter 4 about the catching us up into the clouds. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and towards all men, even as we do towards you, to the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father. And then look what it says, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And so here in 1 Thessalonians, understand this, that the Lord is coming for his saints, and then the Lord is coming with his saints. Chapter 4 is where he's coming for his saints, and Revelation 19 is where he's coming with his saints. Look at some more. 1 Corinthians 15, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Not just in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall rise or be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. In Revelation chapter 4, we see it of John himself. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And so we're looking for that trumpet that's going to say, come up hither. Make no mistake that is the rapture of the church. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was sat in heaven, and one sat at that throne. Look for the Christ. Don't look for Antichrist. A lot of people are trying to say, who's the Antichrist, and predict all that stuff. A lot of false teachers playing around with that too. So be very careful. We're looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not looking for the Antichrist. The next tick on God's time clock is the rapture of the church. Some suppose that the Antichrist must be revealed first. Not so. The abomination of desolation shows up 3.5 years at the 3.5 year point of the 7 year tribulation period. So make no mistake, we can time all that out and see again when that's going to happen. But you can't time out when the rapture of the church is going to occur. Many, even most, of the day of the Lord's returning warnings and prophecies are to Israel. And a Bible student needs to distinguish, to rightly divide the word of truth. Again, the teaching of the Catholic Church is that they have replaced Israel, so they don't distinguish the teachings that go to Israel, and there's much, much confusion in the Catholic Church and in all mainline denominational Protestant churches. They do not understand nor teach the rapture of the church, which is clearly signified here in the Bible. Matthew 24 says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand." And so that's an event that's happened in the dead center middle of the tribulation period at 3.5 years in. We can time it all out very clearly from God's prophecy. And then it says, "Let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains." And again, this is not talking about the rapture. This is talking again about the salvation of Israel. Notice again the reference there to Judea. And so prophecy, most of the prophecy of the second coming of Christ deals with the salvation of Israel's. Don't mistake that again. Make sure you get a good handle on that. Romans 11 says, "I say then, hath God cast away his people?" Look at verse 26. "And so shall Israel, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." God's going to take away the sins of Israel. These are promises made to Israel and the salvation of Israel. Look at Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined upon the people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity. Let's stop and think about what it's saying here, that for Israel, there's going to come an end of sins. There's going to be a reconciliation for iniquity. There's going to be a bringing in of everlasting righteousness. There's going to be a seal up all the visions and the prophecies, and to anoint the Most Holy as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So don't miss the fact again that much of the prophecy is about the salvation of Israel. And again, it has nothing to do with the church. The church has been removed in the rapture before these things happen. Revelation is divided, or the tribulation period is divided into two periods, 3.5 period here and 3.5 period there. And again, it's a 7 year period of the great tribulation that Jesus speaks of there in Matthew 24. And notice what it says here. It talks in Daniel chapter 12 about there shall be a time for a time and times and half a time. That's 3.5 years. If you can't understand that, then look, it's given here, and there shall be a 1,290 days. That's 3.5 years. Look what Revelation says. Revelation is broken dead center to the very word in the middle of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's broken into exactly what happens at the dead center of the tribulation period. 12:6 says, "And the woman fled in the wilderness where she hath a place prepared." The woman again was Israel that delivered the child, the Messiah, that they should feed her there for 1,203 days. That's 3.5 years again. Called out as 42 months, which is 3.5 years. And so over and over again, you see this emphasis about the dead center middle of this tribulation period. Notice here in Revelation chapter 12, the dead center middle of this tribulation period is a dead center middle of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was there a place found anymore in heaven. And he was cast out. Praise the Lord. And again, that's where the tide turns and the victory begins. That's when the abomination of desolation is revealed here upon this earth. And so keep that framework right and make sure you understand here that that's part and dealing with the salvation of Israel that's mentioned there in Romans 11. So after the rapture of the church, saints that were raptured out are going to be at what's called, we call the Bema Seat Judgment. Notice again that that's given here in 1 Corinthians 3, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we're going to be at the throne. There's going to be a judgment of saints. This is not the judgment of sinners. This is not the white throne judgment that's yet to come. This is the judgment of saints. Now, if any build upon his foundation gold and silver and precious stones or wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So this is a judgment of works. This is a judgment of the saints. This is not a judgment of the soul. If your soul has been delivered from condemnation, it still is. After the Bema Seat Judgment is called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. You've heard many Bible references talk about the bride or the bridegroom returning to catch the bride away. And again, to go off to the marriage supper, Revelation 19:9 says, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. He saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. So there is a marriage supper of the Lamb. And there, notice again, that if you're a saint that got raptured out, that's where we're headed. We're headed to the Bema Seat Judgment, and next we're headed to the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. What's next? And then we ride with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10 of Revelation 19, and I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren that have thy testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Verse 11, new paragraph. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. This is what we refer to as the second coming of Christ, when he comes to make war. And if you study the rest of Revelation, you'll find again that he makes war in the what's called the Battle of Armageddon. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, every man's work shall be tried. I don't know whether I went backward or duplicated a slide there. So after the marriage supper is the Bema, after the Bema Seat is the marriage supper of the Lamb. And there's a Revelation 9 again. So as we look at these things, Christ first comes for his saints. Then he comes with his saints. Look at verse 14 of that. And it says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and he that should smite the nations, he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the wine presses of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. All these are, again, portrayals of or wordings that are found previously in the description of this battle of Armageddon. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so that is indeed his crowning moment as king, even as it said in chapter 12 and verse 9, that he is now king. And again, that's what it says in Isaiah that we looked at previously. This is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ as a king, sitting on the throne of David, ruling from the city of Jerusalem on the hill of Mount Zion. And so that, again, is the second coming of Christ. Behold, I come as a thief, it says in 16:15. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see thy shame. That's a reference to the message to the Laodicean church, by the way, that they're naked and ought to be ashamed. Verse 16 there says, and he gathered them together in the place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And so that is indeed the battle of Armageddon and the seventh angel. And again, we're in the midst of the angels pouring out the wrath, and the seventh angel poured out his vial of the wrath of God. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. I encourage you need to be saved before these events unfold. Remember that promise that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I was dismayed that modernist ecumenical Bible took out the only begotten son, and they took out the whosoever right out of their Bibles and threw it in the trash. So get yourself a good Bible and understand that you need to be saved. Let me go ahead and say a word here about the Laodicean church as well, to understand that boy, it's a sad thing to be in a lukewarm church. There are churches that are apostate. Let me go ahead and say that if your church has a woman pastor, it is apostate. That means it does not believe what the church used to believe. It has abandoned the word of God and rejected it for political correctness. And so again, if you're in an apostate church, you need to get out. If you are in a lukewarm church, boy, I need to encourage you to get out and get yourself into a Bible-believing church. And so again, you see here the warning given in Revelation chapter 3 about the Laodicean church, and that's the church age that we're in. And let me encourage you, as a Christian, you need to be in a church that's a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church that holds to the Word of God. And I believe, again, it can only hold to the Word of God in a King James Bible, not a modernist ecumenical Bible. Further, if your church has a Christian rock band, boy, I'd encourage you to get into a church that's not a lukewarm Laodicean church, one, again, that practices the old ways and not the modernist ways. And so given all those things, again, I'd just like to, again, encourage you to have a framework for what's going to happen when the Lord comes. Well, I've heard people, Christians, say, well, I can't wait for the Lord comes. That'll end all this. No, that just begins all this. There's a judgment of the nations coming that we need to be students of to understand some things that's going on. They were revealed to us by the Lord Jesus Christ so that we would know everything that he knows. I wanted to read that one section over here in Acts that talks again about the saints or the apostles. Again, at the very beginning said, hey, we want to know some more. Remember Matthew 24, his talk about the end times began with a discussion about what's going to be the sign of the end of this age, ends of this time. And again, his encouragement there in Matthew 24, to watch the olive tree, watch for Israel, again, to understand what's going on in the end times. And here in Acts chapter 1, it says, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Notice again, that's the kingdom that's going to be set up. It's not the kingdom of the Roman Catholic Church. It is the kingdom of Israel set up in Mount Zion, ruling with Christ ruling as King of Kings and Lord of Lords on the throne of David for 1,000 years. All that's very literally taken right out of the Bible. Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? The disciples asked, verse 7 says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Well, I encourage you again to be a student of scriptures when it comes to the last times. And so as we, again, share these things and look at these things, boy, I want to encourage you again to just be faithful. And I'm down here in North Carolina doing this recording. And so this is the view out the back deck of the place we're staying in North Carolina. I might stay here till spring comes to New York. I don't know. Father, praise you and thank you for your goodness. Thank you again, Father, for your word. Thank you for encouragement to Christians. We need it. And I pray again, Father, that you'd help us to study to show ourselves approved unto you, Father, workmen that need not be ashamed, and that we could again be rightly dividing the word of truth as we're looking into the last days. Help again that we could do Acts 20:21. And preach both to the Jews and to the Gentiles, repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help that we could do that because of John 20:21 that says, peace be unto you. And again, as my Father has sent me, Jesus said, so send I you. Father, may we be sent ones. May we be faithful. And Father, I pray, yeah, even as we're looking for the rapture of the church and everything's pointing towards it, nations are gathering against your chosen people, Israel, Father, that you'd prepare our hearts to be witnesses and to preach forth the gospel of our Savior, your Son. In his name, we praise you and thank you and ask your blessing on saints striving for you and your blessing on our little church, Good Samaritan Baptist Church, as we need strength and encouragement from you. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.